This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 2nd to the 5th of December 2024. Won't be saying 2024 for much longer. It's nearly done. Whole year. It's gone by like that. Where does time go? That's when you know you're getting older, when you start saying things like, where does the time go? Where's it gone, Ree? Where does the time go?
I don't know. I wish I knew, because I could do with some back, to be honest. Because it's like that, isn't it?
I can't believe
it's Christmas 2024. It feels like yesterday that we were like
getting well excited about the six stuff.
I know. And being like, what's it going to be? Now it's like Christmas 2024.
And in 4 months' time, we'll have been doing this for 2 years. Me and you. Isn't that mad?
How?
2 years. I know.
Wow.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I think that might be the longest thing that we've both ever stuck out together.
Apart from uni. And arguably, we didn't stick at that exactly.
We didn't really do great at that together, did we?
Hey.
Well, we did in the end.
We got our degrees.
So
what do you want? No employer asked you what your actual grade was, right?
We don't know how, because we used to message each other from opposite ends of the library when we were doing all our assignments.
Shall we go to the pub?
Shall we just go to the pub? Yeah.
This I say will be all right. We've got a whole night to write it. Let's just go to the pub now, shall we?
We'll leave all our bags with our friend who ended up getting really annoyed.
Poor Becky.
We left her
for about 4 hours one time.
She was not impressed. So mad, weren't she? I mean, if I'd have been here, I'd have just left us back.
I'd have just left them. So I've got things to do. But the problem that she had was the fact that she was in exactly the same position as us, and she'd been getting drunk all the time when she should have been doing her SS.
We just had more nerve.
That's the problem. Yeah, right, ladies and gents. Away from our successful academic careers. final month of the calendar. Now, Ree created this calendar, which must seem like so long ago when you created the Peggy calendar, right?
So long ago. At least a year ago.
To the point where she has absolutely no idea what the December picture is. And actually, if we're being honest, she's not had a single idea what any of the pictures have been all the way throughout the year, have you?
It's been a nice surprise for his birth.
It has. But let's be real here. It's December. This is the big month of soap, right? This is the massive month of EastEnders. I know that Ree will have chosen the best ever picture for December. Yeah.
Rob's doing this because I said, don't pick it up, because I've got a feeling that it's going to be a really underwhelming picture for December. So whatever you do, don't pick it up. Right. Come on then, Rob, let's see what it is.
Say goodbye to Pat and Peggy on November.
Aww.
Bless them. And say hello to December.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice. We've got Peggy and Phil and Baby Ben, first Ben. Not first Ben, but the first.
Third, maybe?
Yeah. Just turn my mic back on.
The first Ben that Stella Ben, I think people know him as really.
Stella Ben.
Tap dancing, Girls Aloud, Stella Ben. That's the one. So there we go. That is December's picture with turkey and wine and mistletoe and Christmas and party hats. And they look like they're having a good time, no matter what hell was probably coming their way in the next couple of hours, probably, knowing the Mitchells at that stage. Yep. Right, talking of Christmas, we have got quite the build-up, I think, coming up over December for the big Christmas Day episodes. Also, what we should be talking about later is the scheduling that has officially been announced for the Christmas Day episodes. We'll talk about that later on in the podcast. Have you heard about what the scheduling actually is? It's crazy.
I have.
Yeah, Ree's going to be asleep for the second one, let me tell you.
Aren't I just?
Right, but we'll come to that later, because we have got a mammoth load of stuff to get through tonight. We've got about 5 storylines to get through, including the return of Nish. We knew it was coming, didn't we? We did know it was coming, I think. What else has been going on? Jean's scamming has gotten worse. Cindy is, she's in trouble. She's going to be in trouble. The Christmas Day episode reveal is going to be mammoth when we get to that. And lots of other stuff. So I think we better get on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. Right, let's kick off this week. We're talking about Cindy and Junior and Ian, who had an angina attack. Now, do you know the difference between an angina and a heart attack, Cree?
I do, but I think I'd like you to explain it,
Would you?
please.
Would you? Well, basically, an angina attack is caused by reduced blood flow in the body. It feels exactly like a heart attack, but it lasts for a bit less time. An angina attack temporarily lasts for like about 20 minutes or so at the very most, whereas heart attacks go until you're being seen to by an emergency doctor, basically. And angina attacks tend to be more of a pre-warning towards heart attacks. Now, does this mean that Ian is due another heart attack? Because presumably this has happened for a reason, right?
He's going to have one on Christmas Day when he finds
I
out
think he
about
might.
Cindy.
I think he might.
Oh,
Think he might.
yeah,
Christmas Day
that's it,
heart
isn't
attack
it?
for Ian. I'm getting a
And
bit worried about
obviously,
Ian.
yeah, I'm thinking he's going to have a heart attack on Christmas Day, and now after the angina thing, I'm like, he's going to die on 40th, isn't he?
I'd
What
absolutely
bigger
cry.
legacy character
I
could
know,
you have
but
to die on 40th?
I'd absolutely cry my heart out if Ian Beale died. I really would. Every single time that I see Ian on screen these days, I'm like, oh, thank God you're back. Even though it's been like what, over a year since he returned, I'm still like looking at him like eternally grateful that he returned. Because it's like it's not EastEnders without Ian. So
What if he just returned so that he could get killed off
I know.
properly?
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised, would you?
No. Anything's possible. This is the thing. We're coming up to a big anniversary. Is that it's the most dangerous time to be a long-serving character. That's when you kill off like people like Ian in like a massive anniversary. Legacy characters are at their biggest risk at anniversaries.
Plus, Adam Woody is probably thinking, well, you can just bring me back from dead in 10 years' time anyway. Be right. Yeah, kill me off and bring me back
Bring me
again.
back. Yeah, I'll go and have a heart attack off screen, and then I'll be back in it. I'll be
Oh,
back
if he's
next
done off
year.
screen, yeah, that's
Yeah.
it.
Anything's
Right
possible. But he doesn't want Cindy to know about this because, and I think this drills down into Ian's insecurity about his relationship with Cindy. Like, if he sits and thinks about it, why would you not want to tell your missus, not wife, because they're not married, but like, why would
Partner.
you not, partner, why would you not want to tell your partner that you've had an angina attack and that you need to look after yourself? And his reasoning is because it would make him seem weak. And that means that he's worried that Cindy will go off and have an affair. That ship sailed, love. That ship has sunk.
If
That
only
ship
you
is the
knew the
tit.
truth, Ian.
That ship is the Titanic, love. It's down at the bottom of the sea.
Maybe he does know. Surely he knows
I think.
already. It'd be funny if he did already know.
What do you think Ian's reaction is going to be when he finds out about this? Like, I can see him actually not going crazy and not
Maybe he
being
won't have
like
a heart
massively
attack,
angry.
actually.
You know,
Because,
think.
like, it won't be that big of a shock,
Won't be that
really, to him.
surprise,
Like,
surely.
oh, Cindy's had an
You
affair.
had an affair?
Oh, no!
You
This
had
is
an
brand new
affair?
information. I'm so shocked.
That's
Yeah, he's
so out
probably
of
just going to be
character
like,
for you.
again.
Yeah. I think he
I don't
won't.
know, though, because even Ian might. I can imagine Ian going, this is a new low, even for you,
Oh, something like
Cindy,
that.
your ex-husband's son,
I mean,
or.
I think it depends how he finds out, but considering what Cindy said on that recording, I think that's going to be one of those sort of death by a thousand cuts sort of thing where he,
True.
where his self-esteem by the end of it is so on the floor. He's too devastated to even be angry with her. And he just sort of accepts it. And I can actually see him going, well, you know, never mind. We'll try again though, eh? Maybe you won't have an affair this time. I can genuinely see him doing something like that.
Yeah, because not that long ago we were talking about it and he was just saying, well, she kind of reminds me a bit of Lucy and stuff like that. She's a nice reminder of her. He didn't seem like you were all that fussed about them being together necessarily. Like,
No, I mean, it's not
more that he
based
just
on
likes
anything,
the
is it?
idea of them being together. But he's also doing all this stuff like trying to be Mr. Christmas, isn't he, around the square. So is it going to be quite big news when everyone hears the recording and be like, oh,
It
and then be
depends
like,
how
all
this
these other
recording comes out.
strangers? True.
Depends on how this recording comes out. I mean, Cindy currently now has a copy in her hot little hands of this, of what she's actually said without knowing about it, because Freddie's handing out these CDs. I don't know how many CDs that he's got. A dangerous
Who
number.
Who realistically is actually going to sit down and listen to that
Listen,
bird song?
To 3 hours
there?
Of bird song.
If that's what somebody thinks it is, who's actually going
to
sit
God.
Down and listen to
oh
it?
Oh my God, I've just worked it out. Ian's going to get all stressed and everything, and Cindy's going to go, listen to this, that'll calm you down. And he's going to be on his own, and Christmas Eve, he's going to be on his own, and then he's going to find it out.
You cracked it! Oh, yeah!
That's what's going to happen, isn't it? He's going
to
give.
That.
She's going to
yeah,
give.
Yeah, yeah,
no, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
she's going to
yeah,
give
yeah,
him
yeah.
that as a really rubbish Christmas present.
Yes. But the other thing I just thought when you said it as well, it's either that or Ian's going to be sat listening to it, fall asleep, and then Kathy's going to walk in and she'll hear the actual
Maybe,
bit where they're talking
maybe.
or something. Yeah, I think you cracked it. Yeah. Well done, Rob. Definitely.
I'm very
Definitely what's
excited.
Going down.
I'm really, really excited about this reveal. And I also wonder if by the time that this reveal comes, whether Junior is going to actually be as head over heels for Cindy as he was at the start of this. Because I got the impression this week that his rose-tinted glasses, lol, have started to, thank you, have started to lower a little bit, didn't you?
Yes, because I think he's seeing a different side to her with how she's
yeah.
handling all the Kerjo stuff. Because he was very kind and caring. Like, he, even though he... I mean, I don't think Junior's as fussed about whether the affair comes out as Cindy, but
he's
I
not.
Still don't think he necessarily wanted it to come out from Kerjo. But he was putting Kerjo's health before anything, weren't he, when he went and spoke to him about it?
Yeah, which
Cindy
actually...
was clearly like, you'll ruin your family, Kerjo. Yeah. You don't want to be responsible.
Honestly, like, Kerjo sat there trying to, basically, like, coming around from a coma in Cindy. Cindy comes in, like, Maleficent, and just sits down. And, like you say, tells him that he's going to have to go home, he's going to destroy the family, and basically gives him, like, really clamps him up so that when George is trying to talk to him later, he's, like, sat there, like, all sort of can't look at him, can't speak to him, is really sort of scared that anything he says is going to just destroy the family. And I actually had quite a lot of respect for the way that Junior handled all that this week. I thought, fair play, Junior. That's good. That's good for you.
It made me think he's not quite as sinister as I thought the way
no.
he handled that. It was, yeah. I felt so sorry for Kerjo as well, by the
way.
Oh,
I know. Can you imagine
when you
having that?
When talking and being a mute, I was just like, oh, God, just tell everyone. Just tell everyone, Kerjo. It's fine. Just tell him.
But is he going to say anything? Because Junior basically left it in his hands and say, look, I will respect anything you say. I love you. That's all fine. Didn't, like, there wasn't any sort of passive aggressiveness to it. There wasn't any sort of, like, undercurrent or threat towards it. It was just like, you're not, no one's going to send you home. And if you feel the right thing to do is to tell people, go for it. I will respect whatever you do. I'd rather you didn't. But if you do, that's up to you. And
yeah,
it won't change anything between us.
Why does he know? Maybe on Christmas Day when it all inevitably gets revealed.
Yeah. It's just
going
to add
be trying
to
deny it, and he'll be like, no, actually, it's right, because this is what actually happened when I fell. And then that'll be out there, and then everyone will think that she pushed him. Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, the fact that she didn't push him is bad enough anyway, isn't it? Because
I mean, there is just so much that is going to come crashing down on top of Cindy on Christmas Day, isn't there?
Oh my God,
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this reveal. There's so much. Like, there's the affair itself. Mm-hmm. There's everything that's going on with Lauren, because presumably that's going to come out on Christmas Day as well, that Cindy is pushing these drugs onto Lauren. There's the Kerjo stuff. There's the Kerjo stuff. There's the reaction from Ian. There's the reaction from Kathy. There's the reaction from George.
Yes. There's got to be a slap or a turkey thrown
from
Kathy,
least.
Right?
Oh, both, I would say, from Kathy. She'll throw a turkey at her head. That'll miss. And
then
she'll
slap
just slap her. Yes. Marvellous. There's the reaction from the girls. That's got to be a big thing as well. The fact that Gina has been living with Junior all this time, that's got to that's got to hurt as well. That's got to sting. It's going to be apocalyptic. And you know who's writing Christmas Diary? Who writes these sorts of big reveal episodes better than anybody else is Mr. Simon Ashdown.
Ashdown.
Yes,
Ashdown. Ashdown.
Because there's a double helping of Christmas. This is the first time in years we've had this, right? Two episodes on Christmas Day, ladies and gentlemen. One's at 7:30, which is perfectly fine and dandy, and that's the traditional time.
Free watershed.
Free watershed. And then there's another episode later on in the night at 10:55. It's a crazy time to go out. But that's also going to be... I can imagine what's going to happen is that the reveal will happen at the end of the first episode, and then the cataclysmic rows that come from that is going to be the second episode.
How long is the second episode?
They're both 30 minutes long each. So it is an hour.
Okay.
It is an hour's worth of EastEnders, but they've split it in half.
Okay. I heard some swearing then, at least, if we're going
at least.
First half
yeah,
of the episode.
May
I'm
as
sure
well.
There won't be, but...
No, but they may as well.
Be great,
There'll
though, wouldn't
be
it?
more swearing in the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special beforehand than there will be in the EastEnders episode, which is
Yes,
mad, really, isn't
more
it?
than
Especially when
likely.
you consider what's actually going to be happening in that episode. Like, you would be
Yeah.
effing and blinding and throwing things, and it would just be like gunfight in the OK Corral type thing, wouldn't it?
What's George gonna do?
I don't know what George is going to do. I think he's going to be angrier with Junior than he is with Cindy.
Yes, agreed, 100%. Yes.
Don't you? I
Will he
mean,
punch him? Will he punch June? No, I can't imagine him punching his son.
I don't know. I don't
Would he?
know.
Would he?
Would he? Is he
If he
just going
finds out about Kerja, though, that might
to?
be
Yeah, that might
the
be the
tip of the
thing. That might
iceberg
be.
for him. Is that the same tip of the iceberg?
It's one of them. Yeah, the straw
Yes.
that broke the camel's back.
Yes,
Yeah, it
okay.
could be.
That
It
one.
could be. I don't know. I'm sort of intrigued to see how George is going to react. I think he's going to, well, because it depends what happens. I can see them all being around the Vic Christmas table, all of them together.
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
Cindy, Ian,
Ian, yeah.
Peter,
Peter,
Lauren,
Lauren,
and then
yeah.
all of the knights, Kojo, Junior, they're all going to be there having this big old Christmas dinner, and then it's somehow all going to come out. Because that's the way that you do it, right? That's the way that these big reveals happen, with as many people in the room as possible that are connected to the storyline.
Maybe it will be Anna who gets up and puts the CD on then and is like,
Maybe.
guys, it's sort of like it's going to be like chaos because it's
Will
Christmas
Freddie
to
be
loads of
there as well then?
people.
Freddie
That's what
might be
I'm
there as well.
wondering. No, because he'll be with the Slaters.
Maybe.
Because
And
that's
then
what I would
she.
think. Or maybe Freddie comes in to give Anna a present and goes,
Yeah.
guys, you know what
Throws
you
it
all
on.
need? A good
Bit of bird
song, a
song.
bit of bird song.
Just as the affair is being revealed. And Freddie's like, all right, everyone calm down. Come down. I'll put this CD on. And then it just all gets worse from there. Maybe. Maybe. Oh, there's so many different ways I could do it. I cannot wait. It's going to be epic. I'm so excited. So yeah, I mean, and then Ian's health problems, I think, will probably come by, like we say, come back to haunt him on Christmas Day. I think I can kind of see him having a heart attack on Christmas Day, maybe. Where
Yeah, I
does
can
this,
see
where is
that.
this going to leave Cindy, is my question. Like, surely Ian is not going to take her back, or will he? I think he might.
I think he will eventually, but Kathy's going to be like, she's not living in this house with us. So, and then, but I agree with you. I think Junior is going to also fall out with Cindy. So I don't know. Because
Yeah,
otherwise,
so
if
do
he
I.
didn't, she could just go move in with Junior. Gina will go back to the pub. But I think they're going to end up falling out. So where's Cindy actually going to go?
I don't know, because Junior and Cindy have continued this week with this mad thing they have of having sex in the most random place and dangerous places possible. And they're literally having a conversation and decide to go and have sex in the cellar when there's like a
I
pub full of
know.
people. They're crazy, these two.
The barrel
But
could be changing at any
any
moment.
moment. But it's just this thing that has been sort of established between the two of them. They love this danger, they love the thrill of it,
It's the
and
drama,
it's the
Junior. I love
drama.
it.
But it's sort of like, once that's gone and everybody knows, I don't think Cindy will give Junior a second thought.
No.
Because
No.
also, as we are well aware, the only reason that Cindy's even doing this with Junior is for a substitute for his dad. That's
Oh,
gonna.
yeah, and that's going to come out, and
Yeah, of course it is.
that's why Junior will end up falling out with her inevitably, because she says it on the recording, doesn't she?
There are so many strands to this. It's so exciting. Bring it on. I mean, let us know in the comment section how you think this is all going to be revealed, what you think the impacts are going to be. Are you excited? Because I'm excited. Yes, we are. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. Of course, following on from the Cindy stuff, the Peter and Lauren storyline is sort of ticking away in the background this week. Lauren obviously is continuing to take these drugs that Lynn, that Cindy's got her. I don't know what these drugs are still, do you? They seem to be just painkillers, but I just do not trust the fact that they came from a drug dealer, that there could be anything. There could be anything in them.
I don't even think Lauren knows. She's just like,
No.
yeah, these are doing the trick. Nice
That'll
one.
do.
I don't,
Yeah.
well, what
I'll
can
ignore those.
we don't
I've
know,
got
do
pink
we?
elephants like jumping around, but my pain's gone, so that's
Yeah,
absolutely fine.
it's fine. Yeah, oh, something dodgy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I just the way that this it's all about, I think, building the size of the explosion that's to come, I think. And I can sort of see Lauren losing the baby just before Christmas, just to sort of add
Possibly.
to the layers of the stuff that's going to be revealed.
Yeah, definitely. Rather than it, because otherwise you've got to go down the route of, her having a baby that's got difficulties, and I can't see it going that far either. So yeah, I think you could be right that maybe she's just going to unfortunately miscarry.
Because I don't think it's actually really been addressed what exactly is causing all the pain that Lauren's going through at the moment, is it?
No, but I saw somebody Thank you. I can't remember your name. I do apologise. But one of our listeners explained it in a comment.
All right.
And said that apparently it's to do with when you're addicted, your body does actually feel pain. It is like a psychological addiction thing to the painkillers.
But is
I think
it like...
that's all it is. I think that's all it is for a
year. But it seems to be debilitating pain that she was going through at one point. Like someone would just bump into her and she'd be keeled over. Like, does it cause that much pain?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that is part of the addiction to the painkillers, yeah. And obviously your body's way of saying, I really need those painkillers because my body's in so much pain. I think that is what it is. She's been checked, she's had a scan. If it was anything wrong with the baby, they would have noticed it there and then. Because if they were confident enough to say there's no damage, then they would notice if there was anything wrong there.
Yeah.
So no, and the doctor said to her, you shouldn't be in this much pain anymore.
Exactly.
She's been checked.
Yeah.
So I think it is psychological. I think it's to do with the addiction.
Anything that goes wrong with the baby from here is purely down to the drugs that she's taking, right?
Yes, I think so. I think it's safe to assume, yes.
And because she doesn't really know what she's taking, I think that it's all going to just sort of have a massive impact quite subtly on her. And she's probably going to end up collapsing. And then she's going to have to get rushed to hospital. And then that's all going to come out. But I just wonder what the actual impact of this is going to be. And also the fact that she lost the drugs this week. Like Jay handed them over to a folder in some customer because Lauren kind of carelessly hid them in the folder. I don't know why she didn't just stuff them in her pocket. But she
I didn't get that, but yeah.
Yeah. But she threw these pills in this folder to hide them from Jay, who was walking into the room at the time, and then Jay hands the folder over to a customer. So she's lost these drugs now. So that suggests that she's now gonna go crawl into Cindy's town. I need more drugs. Which means that she's probably gonna have to take more in order to fulfill the sort of the missing aspect. So is she going to overdose on them or what's going to happen?
I didn't even think of that, actually. Or it's either that or she's going to try going after the guy with the folder is what I wondered, because surely he's going to find him and then try and return him to the car or something. So is she going to try and find him first so he doesn't go to Jay?
It depends who this customer is. They could open that folder and go, bonus. I'll have them.
That's
cheers.
True. That is true. Yeah.
We know all sorts lives in Walford. There could be a separate soap going on in London that we just don't see, right? And this guy could have addiction issues and just kind of carry on his own addiction storyline off camera and just be having a great old time with Lauren's drugs.
Anything's possible. I feel like he's gonna come back and say, "Oh, these were in my folder."
Is it what you do if you found them? What would you do? Would you sort of just throw them in the bin? Or would you take
it
them
depends.
Back?
It depends how close I lived to the place.
Oh, yeah.
If it were on my way to somewhere or something, yeah. If we're on my way, I'd be like, I found these, by the way. I don't know, though, because also, if that did happen to you, you wouldn't want to be caught with something when you don't know what they are. And they're in a baggie. It's not like they're in a description box.
And also, the chances are that you returning these is going to get someone get someone sacked as well. Like, would that even go through your head? Or I don't know if I would return them, to be honest. I'd probably just throw them in the bin.
Out toilet.
Probably would. And like looking over my shoulder constantly, convinced that the police are going to find me anyway.
Yeah. flush one at a time.
Yeah.
Then you
one at a time.
Wrapping
each one in loo roll, throwing them all down the toilet. Having a massive meltdown because I think I'm going to get arrested at any moment and the FBI is going to come crashing through my windows at any second. You never know.
Oh, no, we're not in America. It's all right.
Oh, what's that? It's MI5. There we go.
MI5, that's it.
MI5. So, yeah, that's kind of carrying on. I think ultimately it's all just going to add to the Cindy explosion when it all comes out. That's what I think ultimately the point of this section of the storyline is, really, isn't it? And also, Lauren is kind of still sort of ticking away at Cindy saying, I know you're hiding something. So she's not exactly on Cindy's side throughout all of this. But then is she going to have to soften when she needs more drugs? Because is she getting these drugs through Cindy? Or is Cindy just going to go, just ask Ravi? Just sort it out with Ravi?
No, because Cindy needs Lauren to still stay on side, doesn't she? Because she's keeping her secret of the Kerjo stuff. So she's keeping Lauren's secret of you taking all these painkillers.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, additional to the pills that Cindy's providing, she saw him, didn't she, during the crush,
Junior
exactly. And Cindy. So when's that memory going to surface again?
I guess Christmas Day. Myself.
Oh yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. I remember something. Yeah.
Now the sound of mistletoe and Christmas bells are in the air. Actually, that's triggered something in my head. You were in that office together just before I went arse over tit on the ground, weren't you? Yes.
Maybe both Lauren and Ian will need an ambulance on Christmas Day.
Maybe. Double ambulance. Or maybe, three ambulances on Christmas Day. Something else is going to happen as
Why
well, isn't
not?
it? As a
Why
result of it.
not?
As a result of
Yeah.
it. Train. Something
No,
happen.
that's in February,
That's
Rob.
in
That's in
February.
February.
That's in February. Or is it New Year's Day?
Well.
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 Well, we should come to that later. But yeah, all of this, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited to sort of see all this come out. It's going to be cataclysmic. I can't wait. Right, ladies and gents, we've got a couple more other stories before we get to the big one. So let's crack on with Gene. Scam me once, shame on me. Scam me once, shame on you. Or the other way around, whichever way that
Oh
saying
my God,
goes.
Rob, you messed it up again. Scam me once, shame on you. Scam me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
That's what he meant to say,
That's what I
everyone.
meant to say. Oh, dear. Anyway, Gene has been scammed again. I mean, I actually thought that that was quite a good route to take it down because now,
Yes.
these people, I don't think these were the same people that were scammed the first time, were they? Or do you reckon they were?
Maybe they're connected, or they somehow recognize that she's been scammed, so they think that she's an
I
easy
don't know,
target. They
though.
must know, though. Because they're saying, oh, we'll get all your money back for you, and they've contacted her first.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know, because I imagine it's very, very easy to set up a scam company saying, if you've been scammed, I will look after you. Come over here, you know, and that could be quite easy to sort of.
Surely a bit of a coinkydink that it happens that soon after she's actually been scammed, though. They must somehow know,
I don't
surely.
know. Either way, Gene
And
has.
they said, oh, we know that you've reported it to the police or something. They were saying that there were solicitors from the police. So maybe it is linked to the scammers, and they've gone, she's probably the type who'll report it to the police. So they've gone, okay, well, we'll pretend to be solicitors then, like linked to the police station somehow.
Yeah,
Anyway.
well, either way, Jean has been scammed yet again, by people claiming to have helped to be helping her from the first scam. And again, I can sort of see that happening quite easily. You know, it's I think it's a good load of awareness to raise for that. Like, it's all very well to say, be careful of scams. Like, look at Jean, she's just been scammed. But then to continue it and say, actually, this is also possible as well. Once you've been scammed once, doesn't mean that you're not immediately going to be scammed again. I think that's quite a clever way of doing it. I was like, fair play. And it seems that what these people have now done is opened up a load of loans in Jean's name because she's handed over all these personal details because she was so trusting the second time. Because you can sort of see her thinking, like, why would I be targeted again when they've just taken all my money? I think if anything, you feel like you're the safest from being scammed at that point, don't you?
Nothing left to lose, I guess. Not
Exactly.
thinking, actually, they're going to take out a load of loans in my name instead because I've not got
Yeah.
any money left. Yeah.
I mean, of course, what this does do is give us another Christmas where the Slaters are going to be absolutely skint. Christmas is not a good time for the Slaters, money-wise,
No.
ever. It rarely is. I mean, if they can avoid losing their house this year, that would be a goal, I would say.
Yeah, oh, surely now they're not going to make a moment with St. Chris. Who is it still? Sookie is their landlady.
I think
Yeah.
so. I think so. They haven't addressed that for a while, but I think it's still Suki that owns it. Or did someone buy it? I thought someone bought it. I can't remember.
Or has Nish inherited it from Sookie during the
Yeah.
divorce, perhaps?
I can't remember. But then I wouldn't have thought if Suki has got anything to do with that house, so then she'll be fine, like because she's
Well, this is what
Naveen
I
and she's
mean.
not.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Muneeb. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
fine.
yeah.
They're fine. Surely,
Yeah.
surely, surely. Anyway.
Yeah, but if it's Nish, anyway.
Well, I
I think
suspect
Nish has got other things on his
Nish has
mind,
got.
hasn't
Nish
he?
is a bit
Yeah.
busy at the moment. A bit busy.
Yeah.
Yes. You can imagine him just turning up at the house going, I'm out. I need this place. Jesus. That could happen, couldn't it? That could happen.
Yeah, could.
So either way, Jean is I thought Gillian Wright did very well this week, actually. I thought some great
Yeah.
performances from Gillian Wright because she just sort of fell apart. I was just like, how could
Yeah.
people be this evil? Because Jean, bless her, at her best, has got quite a sort of naive view of the world sometimes and sort of doesn't understand why anybody would target anybody to that degree, which I understand completely. Like, so she sort of feels really vulnerable, really lost, probably feels a little bit old as well, actually.
Yeah.
Because you always
She's
hear
very
that
trusting,
these,
isn't she?
she is very trusting, but then you also always hear that these scammers always go for older people. So to have that sort of stigma attached to you, I imagine, has quite the psychological effect as well.
Yeah, because I didn't somebody say, like, oh, you didn't give them all your passwords and stuff to your banking, did you? And she was
Yeah.
like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I
And said that
did.
they
Yeah.
needed it. And that is quite what you'd associate with an older person to
Yeah,
do. Yeah.
completely.
Because that's
Yeah,
like a
because.
number one rule, FYI, for anybody. Number don't one rule, don't over. Ever give your password out to anybody.
Nobody
not even your
genuine.
Bank.
No, don't,
not
your
even
bank
your
will
bank.
Never ask for it. Your bank
They'll
will
never
never
ask
ask for
it.
As they tell you in every email they ever send you, all right? Mm-hmm. They will never, ever ask for your passwords. I can't even remember my passwords. I don't even know if I've got any passwords. That's how secret they are. That you know, yeah. Even I know them. but bless her. Bless her. She has told Harvey the truth this week.
Yes, thankfully.
Well, you say thankfully. I wonder what the impact of that is going to be. Like, is Jean going to consider... Like, yes, she's let Harvey in, but is it going to have an impact on their relationship moving forwards, is my question. Because the spectre of Kathy hangs over Jean and Harvey now. So
there is that.
What do you
Maybe
reckon?
Harvey's going to keep offering money to Jean or something, and she's just going to keep being... Because, don't get me wrong, by the way, I absolutely love Jean. But for some reason, she's so defensive when it comes to Harvey. Maybe it's, you know, the whole taking it out on the people closest to you.
Of course.
It's every time he offers her some help, like, here's some money for some Christmas presents, is she just going to take that? Is she just going to be really
insult.
Defensive
yeah.
about it? Yeah.
I, think
like,
so.
I don't need your help. Oh, I now he's so. Calling me stupid again and reminding me about how stupid I've been.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, no, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah,
keep pushing and him away
yeah.
into the arms of Kathy.
Into the tentacles of Kathy Beale.
Is he going to tell Kathy? And Kathy's going to say, "Yeah, borrow some money from me, Harvey." And
maybe.
Then he doesn't tell, and then he's not going to tell Jean that he's got this money from Kathy. Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
See that happening again? That'll drive another wedge between them.
Yeah, it's all going to get very, very messy, isn't it? Matters of the heart, matters
Poor
of money.
Jean.
Poor Jean.
Poor Jean.
I did honestly really, really feel for her this week because she was devastated. And I just love the fact that, you know, she turned around to Stacey and was sort of talking about all these, what's been going on. And Stacey is so well trained at being skinned to Christmas. She's like, oh, it's fine. We'll be fine. Tell me something new. What, you know, the sky's blue, is it, as well? Yeah, we're skinned to Christmas. Big shock. So I think they'll be all right in the long run. I think the money situation is sort of, like we say, it's our favourite word, the catalyst for sort of the mess that's going to be coming in Harvey and Jean's relationship and the money itself. One or two things will happen, right? It will sort of just fade away and we'll just never hear about these money problems ever again. Or it's going to get sort of... I mean, I don't see how it gets any worse from here, to be honest, the money situation, because she's now already got loans against her. So presumably now that means that she's going to start getting letters and demands and all that kind of thing. The stress is just going to keep building and building.
Well, do you know what? Maybe I'm being really naive, right? But if somebody's taking out loans in your name falsely,
yeah,
why would you then be expected to pay them when it's fraud?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd Even though you've surprised. Legally not signed anything and it's like somebody else pretending to be me did that, still got to pay it.
I know somebody who was in a coercive relationship years and years ago, right?
Right.
Got out of that relationship and still to this day has... demand letters land on their doorstep because of like underhand stuff that bastard was doing behind his back with money.
Well, that, like, I can kind of see that though, even though they were coerced into
it was
if
in his
they've
name.
Actually signed it over and agreed to it, if you know what I mean. I can see, not that obviously that makes it any more right, but I can kind of understand that a bit more rather than a total stranger who's just taken a loan out in your name really falsely.
It seems like it should be quite... You'd have thought, but I think we might be discovering that it's not going to be as simple as that.
Well, yeah, I heard that they do show us all this science stuff and educators, because I'd
Absolutely.
Quite like to know.
It seems to be very much the aim of this story, isn't it? It's all about sort of showing how bad these scams can get and the sort of how much they can throw you into complete financial disarray. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see how far they go with it moving forwards before we end up with the inevitable sort of path towards Harvey and Kathy. Sort of see how it goes. Right, ladies and gents, final little story before we get to the big one. And that is Sharon and Teddy, who have had their first kiss. On to our penultimate story now, and that is Sharon and Teddy. And Sharon's fetish for bold Mitchells has led us to a moment where they have had their first kiss. Now, I have never been the massive kind of critique of Teddy's fashion choices as everybody else has, all right? Because I know you had a big old issue with the jumpers over the shoulders, and I didn't care about that. I do, however, draw the line at that flat cap he was wearing this week. Why? Like, it just ages somebody wearing caps like that, doesn't it? It just seemed to me...
I didn't think that was as bad as the jumper, if I'm honest
I thought,
with you, but...
No, I would take 10 jumpers over his shoulder than one of those caps. I've got to be honest.
Do you know what he's doing? Clearly, Nicola... was quite in charge of his wardrobe when we were together. So now he's like, well, now I ain't got you telling me how to dress. I'm going to dress exactly how I want to.
Which is a worrying thing. Wear. If that's what he wants to wear, that's worrying, in my opinion. But there we are.
I don't think it was that bad. I thought the jumpers were worse.
I don't know why. It was just the last thing I expected him to pop on his head. I really wasn't expecting that at all. Just a flat
Maybe
cap.
Maybe I'm used to it. A lot of people around where I live wear flat caps. I think it's quite a Yorkshire bloke thing to do.
He looked like he was strolling his way through a village with like a huge sort of what they call those big guns under his shoulder. It was just on his way to a country.
Oh,
pub.
Like a farmyard.
Yeah.
A farmyard. A farmer.
Yeah, he looked like a farmer. It was just like that. He looked like a farmer. There we are. Okay. Bless him. But doesn't seem to have had any sort of impact on Sharon. If anything, it's encouraged her.
Put
the flat cap on. Ooh, and then take it off. That's like the reveal for Sharon.
Oh, now I can see the boldness.
Yeah, that's the reveal for Sharon. Yeah, exactly. Like she lobs the cap and then she sort of slowly slips it off his head. Oh my God, he's bold as well. Rah! And then just pounces on him like a cougar.
He knows what he's doing then.
He does,
doesn't
he? He does. He knows what he's doing. However, they have their first little date this week because all the madness of the Nish storyline, which we'll discuss shortly, sort of going on in the square. So they are sort of locked in Sharon's house.
Yes.
And Sharon's having a bit of a moment, isn't she, about Keanu, because everything's sort of reminding her about everything that's gone on with Keanu. And she's like, I'm not really in the right headspace for this. I kind of quite like that over a year on, Sharon is still having these moments about Keanu, because there was a time where she genuinely really loved him, wasn't there?
It was only a year ago that she was about to marry him. So, exactly. At least they're making it more realistic. Like, yeah, she might still be a little bit hung up on that ex that she was about to marry, who she thought she'd had a kid with. Yeah.
Yes. But I thought Teddy was very, very sweet with her, actually. I kind of quite like this. I do like Sharon and Teddy together. I think it's working quite well. What do you think?
I think him and Nicola are so much more well-suited.
That's the point,
isn't it? Yeah, I do get it. I don't mind Sharon and Teddy, to be fair. It makes sense that she'd go for another bold Mitchell, but...
Yeah, but what? Yeah, exactly, for a start, you know. Mm. And remember, when she first started with Keanu, he didn't have any hair then either. She's definitely got a thing for a shaved head. He's got a type. I do, like, the whole thing, though, is all sort of zoned down, I think, on a Nicola-Sharon feud, which I am so here for, I can't even tell you.
Yes, 100%. It's funny, though, isn't it? Because if they didn't have the Teddy involvement, they'd probably be really good friends, actually. They'd probably quite like each other.
You reckon? Yeah.
I don't know, though.
I think Sharon is one of these people that sort of... They both like to have sort of like that Mitchell sort of matriarchal role. Sharon, I think, is a bit more unspoken about it. She sort of just assumes that's her position and just sort of gets on with it. But when someone like Nicola comes along, who seems to be like, no, that's my job, thanks very much. Ultimately, I think Sharon will come out fighting.
I think
Nicola has underestimated who she's about to take on, if I'm honest as well.
Yes, very true. Very true. Because Nicola is a lot more... blatant about it. She is, but she's no wallflower.
So I think we're in for some fun with these two. Yes. I cannot wait. Watch like all that kick off. But Nicola is sort of kind of spreading around the square, trying to sort of influence people. She gets involved in this calendar thing that Mo's doing.
Oh, yes. The calendar business.
Yes. If I could get this calendar sent to me, by the way, for next year, I'd be very grateful. All the naked men. Did we have a great scene with Winston this week?
That'd be a good shout, actually. We should totally do that if we can.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyone out there?
Didn't we have a great scene with Winston this week? I loved that. I thought that was a big old scene. I think Winston's most dialogue he's had in years. I really enjoyed that. It was fun. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great time to be an EastEnders background character at the moment, isn't it? You get scenes like that for Winston. And Tracy gets her own little mini-series on iPlayer. Go check it out. It's great.
It's not on iPlayer, though, is it?
Is it on iPlayer? I think it's on iPlayer. It's around somewhere. Have a look on the EastEnders social media and you'll find it. And it'll lead you to it somewhere.
It's on like a link to BBC Studios. Just type it into Google, I think. Unless I'm mistaken, it is on iPlayer, but I couldn't find it on there.
Well, if it's not, then it should be. But either way, Tracy's had her own little mini-series like made because they were doing a director training thing and they used Tracy.
It was fantastic as well. Great. The directors all did amazing on that.
Fair play to them. I'm so jealous. Can you imagine that? Like having your first sort of big work working at EastEnders. I'm so jealous. So there we go. That's sort of kind of kicking off and sort of underway in the background. Teddy and Sharon, I think, are at the first stages of starting to get together. Nicola sort of in the background, sort of watching, well aware what's going on. She's going to start trying to sort of mess those two up in the future. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be camp, soapy nonsense between Sharon and Nicola. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. My other sort of worry is...
Yes.
Is Nicola going to start working on Phil? Because she knows, thanks to Honey, that there is history between Sharon and Phil. So is she going to start trying to work that in and sort of try and mess Teddy and Sharon up that way?
What, try and get Sharon and Phil back together, you mean?
Yeah, or at least have Phil wreck things in some way.
Possibly, yeah. Although we've not seen Phil, have we? So will he be that easy to get hold of? Because from what we can tell, he's kind of just... in his house, not really talking to people, is he?
In the coming weeks, I think we'll be seeing a bit more of Phil, and this loneliness thing is going to start building up. Steve McFadden's going to knock it out of the park. I can't wait to see that. It's going to be great. Yeah. Right, ladies and gents, we're on to the big story of the week now. Nish is back. So, we did say a few weeks ago that Nish kind of leaving in the back of a police car, never to be seen again, didn't feel... that satisfying, did it?
No, I think we knew that he were coming back. To me, it was quite obvious that that wasn't the end.
It was, but then I didn't think that we were going to get the Hannibal Lecter / Michael Myers approach that we got this week with it.
No, I wasn't expecting this either. So, come on, let's address the elephant in the room, Rob. A lot of people online are saying...
Yes, a lot of people...
too far.
Yeah, a lot of people are sort of like, really? Are we here again? And I feel like... it seems like the way that Nish should go out. Yes, I feel like maybe we could have done this a while ago. I'm not denying that.
Yes, yeah.
But I feel like this is going to be like the... let's be honest. If you're sick of the sight of Nish, he's going to be gone by New Year's Day, all right? New Year's Day, I think, is going to be when it happens. Because I think the Christmas stuff is all going to be the Cindy stuff. And then we know that the wedding is on New Year's Day. So Nish will be gone by New Year's Day, I predict. Mm-hmm. I cannot see him staying past that point. And it's going to be big. Because apparently... all the teasers that we've been led to believe by the director, Christopher McGill, on Twitter, have said that New Year's Day is going to be huge. So what is this to complain about in that respect, really? Like a massive episode, massive climax to it. I'm looking forward to it. I get what people are saying, don't get me wrong. I do understand, but I don't mind it that much, to be honest.
I was a bit like, here we go again. It's me. She's trying to get revenge on everyone. But I was a bit like that. And then once he'd escaped and... I think it was the whole like, oh, look, he's managed to escape from the back of an ambulance. Nish is at it again. It was a bit like, oh, have we not seen all this kind of drama with Nish?
We've not seen him escape from the back of an ambulance before.
To be fair. We haven't, in fairness.
No.
But then once it had happened, I was kind of here for it. I was like, right, okay, as long as this is the end.
This is the end.
Fine.
This is the big Nish climax. Yeah. No doubt about it. This is it, okay? And, you know, because... I was reminded of the Grey storyline a little bit this week, and I think that's purely because at one point the doctor that he was getting all to sort of do the dodgy sort of like Nish's dying thing.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought they'd brought Grey back for a moment. I was like, oh my god, it's Grey, and then sort of realised it's a different actor. I genuinely was terrified for a moment there.
that would have been great though.
No, it wouldn't. Really. No, I think not. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, Nish is just properly Nish this week. I just thought it was all very sort of pantomime in a lot of ways, which I think I didn't mind it as much. Because this is the thing about Nish. He is very much, at this stage, I think, a bit of a moustache-twirling supervillain, all right? There are no redeeming features about him whatsoever. You understand that he's really hurt from the betrayal of his family and that he will do anything to sort of regain that control. I get that, okay? But his motivation at this point purely is to destroy Suki and Eve. And if whoever gets in the way from that is fair game.
And more for them, for not just waiting and not saying anything about a wedding. Like, just wait until he's died.
Well,
make
to be fair,
a bit easier.
Suki didn't. It was Nugget that did that.
Yeah, but he did say, like, they didn't. Did they need to tell everyone the wedding was back on? Couldn't they have just got back together? Because that was specifically Nisha's last wish, wasn't it? Was, please don't marry Eve. Just wait until he's passed and then sort
But I completely understand why. Yeah, but I completely understand why Suku would want to say, no, I'm still marrying her.
No, I do. No, I get that as well.
Then he thinks he's won. And after everything that Suki and Nish have been through together, the last thing that Suki would ever want is for Nish to think. Because at the end of the day, Suki has that element about her.
Yeah, I know. When she's thinking, I don't want to be, you know, you're not controlling me anymore and all that.
Exactly.
And I get it. And she's got every right. Don't get me wrong. She's got every right to get married to Eve. I just think make your life a little bit easier. You've only got
just a month to go.
Well, 24 hours you thought you had to go. You still had to tell him, but anyway.
She could have saved herself a lot of problems just by placing a pillow over his head.
Talking of which, we haven't seen Reese and Bianca, actually. No. So she's just still living it up in
She's living it up in her egg box shaped shed. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know when we'll see Bianca again. Possibly Reese might bring her a bit of turkey on Christmas Day.
When is that going to be? Yeah, because we've not heard anything.
I've not heard a thing about when it might be coming back either. No. So God knows. Bianca is going to be a shell of a woman by the next see her, I suspect. She's not going to be shouting as much, I suspect.
She's got commode there, so at least she has several on that front.
That's the thing. Reese is going to open that door, and there's just going to be pans of wee everywhere, isn't there? If you're going to kidnap somebody, I'm sorry, but you've then into yourself into the bush took a trial of cleaning up after your victim. Yeah. So get over it, Reese. Yeah. Anyway, so I genuinely thought there was a vibe of Hannibal Lecter about Nish this week with that oxygen mask over his face. I think that was very deliberate. And then Michael Myers always escapes when he's being transferred to another prison. So I think there was an element of that as well.
Right. Okay, they're turning
into a horror movie villain at this point, Nish, all right? And I really don't mind it. I know that it's, like I say, I know that this could have happened many months ago. But do you know what? Whatever, all right? These supervillain stories always go on a little bit too long, I think. But it makes the resolution quite satisfying when it eventually does come, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get what people are saying. I really, really do. And there was a couple of moments but this week we kind of think of, come on. But yeah. I'm all right with it.
I love some Panisar drama anyway, but it is what it is now. It's happened. In the moment, I were pretty annoyed and I was just like, oh, come on. Mm. But now it's happened. I'm like, come on, let's see where this
we're
is
We're here
going.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where it's going. We've got Nish currently sort of slumming it down in some abandoned flat around the corner. My favourite part of that was when the doctor knocked on his door. There's a policeman walking past. And the Warford police are the most useless cretins ever to disgrace the earth, aren't they? They really are.
Nish is not daft. You hide in plain sight, don't you, Rob?
Yeah, that's true. You know? Mm-hmm. So, how long... I mean, obviously New Year's Day is going to be the climax. I mean, do you think that we're going to... So, is this going to be one of these things where we don't see Nish now for a little while? We just know that he's there. And Suki won't discover him until maybe New Year's Eve, New Year's Day time. It's not that far.
I don't know. I feel like if you were Nish, like knowing Nish's character, he'd probably like to plant a few little seeds around the square so that they know that he is around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe leave a note on Suki's table or, do you know, some these little things, Walford East maybe to show that he's been there. These little things just so that people know.
Well, we had quite a few little lines from Nish this week implying that A, I'm going to go nuclear, and B, they should all be terrified. There's a lot of that this week. Nish saying sort of delivering doomsday lines, saying I'm going to kill everybody and all that.
He said all as well. Do you think his whole family in danger?
I would imagine everybody's in danger. I think now it's the end. Yeah,
whatever.
He doesn't care. He knows he's dying. I mean, let's be honest. For a dying man, he's had a good innings, hasn't he? But I think that just everybody Panasar related is in danger now because everybody has turned their back on him. Even the kids haven't given him the loyalty that he wanted.
Nugget has though, so I'm wondering if Nugget's going to be
kind of has
because he's still calling Nugget, and Nugget's the one who told him about Eve and Suke.
Yeah,
is Nugget going to be one of his targets for like? I don't think he'd harm the kids.
But then he knows that Suke and Nugget are really, really close. So
that's true, because that's
Nugget...
why Suki went out with the knife, weren't it? Because she was trying to look for Nugget.
What was that about? She grabs his butcher's knife and then starts randomly knocking on garage doors, going, you in there?
She's a boss bitch. I'm here for it.
Yeah. But she was just randomly knocking. Why would Nugget be hiding in a garage?
I did wonder, is that relevant? Because we've never seen that garage before. Is that like, some place that Nuggets seems to go to that we don't know about?
I know, that's what I thought. It was like
a hangout spot.
Yeah, it's going to be revealed that this is Nuggets gaming room or something. And she just knocked on this random garage. Are you in there?
Yeah.
No, of course he's not. So why would he be?
No, you're right, because otherwise, why did we have that there? Is that where something's going to happen with Nish then, maybe? They're planting the seeds of this is a place to look out for? Are we reading too much into it? You know what?
Never.
The sick stuff, right, has made me overanalyze EastEnders in a way that I never used to do.
Turned you into a paranoid mess,
isn't
it?
Constantly, yeah.
It's fun. It's good fun. So, what do you think ultimately Nish's plan is? How is this all going to play out, do you think? Like, what is this nuclear plan that he's got?
He's got to kidnap Suki on the wedding day or something like that, surely. So,
I think
Nugget,
so.
Or holding Nugget hostage, maybe. I feel like Nugget's going to be quite a big part of it.
I feel like, yeah. If I was Nish, I'd go for Nugget, in all honesty.
Yeah, because
I think so, because Nugget is sort of, he knows how close Suki and Nugget are. Also, taking Nugget gets to Ravi.
Yeah.
Because Ravi very much turned his... I was so pleased that Ravi turned his back on Nish this week, because I genuinely thought, when he turned around to Ravi and said, make sure this wedding doesn't happen, I thought, oh, come on, Ravi, please.
Yeah, but come on. How many times has Ravi had a change of heart as well, though, to be fair? I don't think he will this time. Although I thought that last year when, you know, he witnessed Nish trying to, like, bash Suki's head in, but then he still managed to somehow forgive him.
Yeah,
honestly,
and Vinny was forgiving him even after he'd tried to kill him a few weeks back. So he's got an impact on this family.
True.
But I think this is it now. The whole family, basically. Yes, you could say that Nugget. I mean, even Avani, I don't think is going to end up giving that much sort of time of day.
I would have thought that he'd go for Avani, but Avani was Nugget the one who made him basically decide to go to jail for Suki.
I think Nugget is the one chink in the Panasar armor that he can take advantage of at this point.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be Nugget he goes for out of everyone.
Yeah.
And he knows that Suki won't want to marry Eve while Nugget's missing.
Yeah.
All that jazz. Yeah. It's going to be. Got to be. I mean, if I was Suki and Eve, right, I would be postponing that wedding until I know that Nish is gone.
Mm.
That's what I'd do. I'd be like, until there's a body or Nish has been, you know, put back behind bars, the wedding is not going on. But
well, I think and I think what this also means is that Nish's eventual demise is going to be a sort of explosive sort of climax. So if we had to predict it now, how is Nish going to die?
Fire. Yeah,
fire's always a good one.
Yeah. I mean, the minute mark we've still not seen since it's been having this refurb. Is there a reason why this has been, like, is something going to happen in there still?
Maybe something. I think it's going to have to be explosive. And as we know, New Year's Day is big. So does that mean explosions?
This is what I mean. If it's an explosion, Walford East, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe Walford East. Maybe
the garage. The garage. That's where it's going to be. That's why we've been introduced to the garage somehow. Maybe that's where he's going to have Nugget. Something's going to happen. As long as Nugget doesn't die, I'm all right.
If Nugget dies, we're ending the podcast. Let me tell you.
I agree.
Yes, that's it. Done. If Nugget dies, because I love Nugget. He's probably my favourite Panasar member. He's great. So if Nugget dies, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from her.
Goodbye from me.
Yeah, you hear me. You hear me. There we are then. But let us know in the comment section where you think this is all going to go. What do you think is going to be the climax? How do you think Nish is going to die? Remember, I've always stuck with this, that Nish always said that he wants Suki to be by his side when he dies. I think that's something that they have very much put in there deliberately. There's so many different ironic ways they can make that happen. That's going to be the sort of key pivot point, I think, as to where the story goes. As long as Suki is by Nish's side when he dies, he gets that one little bit of satisfaction, but they'll twist it around so that it's not satisfaction, I think. But
yeah.
Mm. There you go. Bring it on, though. I'm excited about the climax. I love a big sort of villain demise storyline. I mean, yes, it has gone on a little bit too long, but at the same time, it looks like it's going to be really, really dramatic and big and exciting. So I can't complain about that, really. Gold star this week, Ray. What do you reckon?
I was just trying to think then. I think Suki, you know, for going out with the knife.
Fair enough. I think I'm going to give mine to Junior this week, actually. I was quite impressed with the way that he dealt with all that. And I feel like Junior is going to be one to watch in the coming weeks. So, yeah, Junior and Suki for our gold stars this week. Who are you giving your gold star to? Let us know. And final section of the podcast, as usual, ladies and gents, is comments from you.
Before we get to a couple of comments, let's talk about the scheduling for this Christmas. So we have had the scheduling announced. As we said earlier, a double EastEnders on Christmas Day. First one's going out at 7:30 and the next one's going out at, it's either 10:30 or 5 minutes later at 11:25. Either way, we will be in bed. I'm telling you now, you will be in bed waiting for that.
I might try and stay up.
Well, how could you not? It's the big Cindy reveal, right? And you love the Cindy stuff.
I know. So. I don't. I hate a spoiler as well.
I probably won't be able to see a spoiler.
You know, it's Christmas Day. I might have to try and stay awake for it. Yeah,
Christmas Day. Even if you're absolutely pissed, what I would say is don't be expecting a instant reaction from us like we had last year.
No, absolutely not. And you know what? We still got slated for that.
Did we?
Well, not slated, but people wanted more. We were like. Guys, it was like 11:30. It was past our bed. Well,
and we were drunk. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I missed a very, very vital part of the episode as well.
You did, yeah. Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, just so we're clear, writers for the big episodes this year are Lauren Clee for the 23rd and the 23rd and the 24th. The 24th, by the way, Christmas Eve is a 45-minute-long episode. So something's going to be kicking
off. What time's that one? Is that being aired still on iPlayer first?
I think the only one that isn't going to be aired on iPlayer are the two Christmas Day eps.
Right.
And probably New Year's Day as well. So Lauren Clee for the 23rd and the 24th. Simon Ashdown for both Christmas Day episodes and Boxing Day. So, boom. Simon Norman for New Year's Eve. We've got New Year's Eve at back this year. And then Kevin Rundle for New Year's Day. And the Christmas week is being directed by Carl Nielsen and New Year's Day by Christopher McGill. So, pulling out the big guns this year. It's going to be good. Boom, boom. I can't wait.
Quite some guns there, Rob.
Very excited. So there we go. That's all going to be good. So just keep an eye on any scheduling stuff because it's Christmas and scheduling can be a little bit sort of fragile over the Christmas period. I'm honestly amazed that they managed to get two episodes because I was wondering how they were going to get one in, never mind two. But they've sort of split it off quite well because the BBC schedule is going to be rammed this year. So BBC One, I'm going to be sorted this year for Christmas telly. Can't wait. So there we are then. Any comments this week, Ree?
We've got a comment from Jack Warren who says, tonight's EastEnders was talking about Thursday's episode was like a Halloween movie, Nisha Killer on the Loose and Kitchen Knives.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, that's what you said, didn't it, Rob?
It is, Ree. Now, Ree doesn't know who Michael Myers is, it transpires.
See?
You haven't heard of him, did you? I showed you
I did a really good job of smiling and nodding when you were saying it, but I didn't have a clue what you were on about. No, I didn't.
Well, there we go then. So, but it's right. He's basically a slasher villain at this point, is basically what we're saying.
Yes.
And then Rach Eilish Jr. said, absolutely love tonight's episode. That Duff Duff was great. So I'm guessing their wedding will happen on New Year's Day, but Nish will epically ruin it, probably by derailing the train into the wedding venue. Right, Rob? Yes, Rachel. That's exactly what's going to happen. Mm.
Where is the wedding venue going to be? Do you think it's the Gurdwara?
It could be that garage. That's where the wedding is.
Where would it be?
I mean, the Vic, probably. Well, the reception will be in the Vic, so it always is.
The reception. Oh, I thought Walford East, maybe. Maybe something special for the reception, actually,
because that's the Panasar thing, so you could be right there.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe.
But I don't know where the actual ceremony would be. Maybe we won't see that.
The Gurdwara.
No, we can't see the ceremony. Yeah,
of course we have. And I think the Gurdwara would be quite interesting to sort of see that play out there. So,
because then I'm thinking, would Nish be a bit angry about the Gurdwara allowing it to happen there or something as well, maybe.
Yeah. Attack them while we're at it as well. Deal with everyone in the Gurdwara before I get to the Panasars as well. Yeah. It's going to be crazy. So if you would like to get in touch with us with any questions, any comments of the week's episodes, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
We'll have to change it to if you'd like to buy us an eggnog. Seeing as though it's growing
the Christmas
period now. I
was just thinking gingerbread latte.
Yeah, let's buy us a gingerbread latte or a mulled wine or a turkey sandwich.
Either way, I'll take out me.
Full turkey that we can throw at the wall.
Throw at the walls. If that doesn't happen, and we'll throw turkeys ourselves if it doesn't happen at Christmas. We'll have a turkey throwing contest. You know, like they have like cheese throwing contests somewhere in Devon, don't they? we'll do that. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, is very Linda themed, I hear. Ooh. Linda is gonna hit rock bottom next week.
Well, I did hear I heard a comment. I need to say this before I forget it. Oh, yes. Elaine said something to, I think, Gina and Anna before she left for a honeymoon of make sure she eats.
Right.
Make sure she eats. Yeah, but she's had anorexia before. I wondered if they are going down that route with her again. I just wondered why she said that to them so specifically.
Well, to stop her being pissed all the time, I thought.
I told you this sick stuff has made me analyse things in ways that I wouldn't, but I did wonder if there was a reason, considering a history.
We'll find out next week, and I wonder if those pictures that were floating around a couple of months ago are going to be relevant for next week. Let's wait and see, and you can be there for the fallout from that with us at the usual time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you later. Goodbye.
Bye.